This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Colonization of Puerto Rico and the history of African Americans. Same struggle, same fight, and the imperative to free Oscar Lopez Rivera, featuring Dr. Cornel West.
And we are going to turn our attention now to Cornel West in really some groundbreaking presentations where he begins to siphon through the context of the colonization of Puerto Rico and relate it to the still ongoing struggle, the legacy of slavery of the African American populace, and ties that into an imperative issue, which is freeing Oscar Lopez Rivera, who is one of the longest held political prisoners in this country, to Dr. West, who is engaged in dialogue with Dr. Samuel Cruz, who's senior pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Brooklyn, and the brother of political prisoner Oscar Lopez Rivera, and that is Jose Lopez Rivera, who's the executive director of the Puerto Rican Cultural Center in Chicago, beginning with the pastor of Trinity Church, Dr. Samuel Cruz, and then the discussion with Dr. West and Jose Lopez Rivera.
I told Cornel that I had a confession to make. When we were in Puerto Rico, we were both exhausted because they had us going all over the place. And on top of that, all these people were coming. Are you Cornel? Are you him? Are you the guy on Bill Maher? I just want to say a few words to start off the dialogue.
Sure.
With Dr. Jose Lopez, who we're really grateful to have here. He was gracious enough to accept our invitation. But in Puerto Rico, among Puerto Ricans, there's a saying that goes like this, por si las moscas. That means just in case the flies come around. So I've discovered, as a sociologist of religion, at least I've discovered it, I don't know if anybody else agrees, that Puerto Ricans have a theology or religion of por si las moscas. They cover all bases. Before process theology discovered this. What do I mean by that? A lot of Puerto Ricans and Caribbean people, they come to church Sunday mornings at 11. And by 2 o'clock, they're visiting the Spiritus. By 8 o'clock, they're visiting the Santero Priestess. In other words, when it comes to their spiritual lives, they're going to cover all bases. Now, why do I say that? Because we've been serious about our spiritual life. And Oscar Lopez Rivera, in my opinion, has done something that I haven't seen done in the Puerto Rican community, which is we translated our theology into the political reality. So I think the Puerto Rican community has decided that we're going to cover all bases to get Oscar Lopez out of prison. So now we have statehooders, independentistas, nationalists, los del ELCA, working together because we're not leaving anything up to chance. We want to cover all bases. And that's why I'm really excited to be here tonight, because the community has come together. However, I have to say that I was thinking about this, and I flirted with the notion of neutrality. But I heard someone talk once about extreme pluralism. I think you've referred to that a little bit. Radical democratization, where everybody speaks and not being afraid. So I want to say, I have to admit, I really can't be neutral. There's no such thing. So I have to say that I respect everyone's ideology here. I really do. I really do. But this night, I want to say que viva Puerto Rico libre. Viva Puerto Rico libre. Libertad para Oscar López Rivera. Puerto Rican power. Jose López Rivera is going to give us a brief introduction or history of what's the situation with Oscar.
Oscar López Rivera has become an emblematic figure in Puerto Rico, the symbol of what Puerto Ricans really are about. And there's a certain grace in being Puerto Rican. It's an incredible level of solidarity in being Puerto Rican. There is a deep sense of justice in being Puerto Rican. And all of those things that make us Puerto Rican, all of those wonderful things that we've been told through a colonial narrative that we don't have, we have, and Oscar has become that symbol of those things that are in the best of the Puerto Rican tradition. Yesterday there was a wonderful article, 3 pages in the Nuevo Día. You have to read this. It's a wonderful article, an exclusive interview with my brother Oscar López. But I want to tell you that this campaign has really taken off in a way that we could not have imagined. I mean, I was in Caguas, Puerto Rico this Friday. The Bishop of Caguas decreed that all the churches should hold a one-day fast for Oscar. From 7 o'clock in the evening till 12 o'clock, different churches from the Diocese of Caguas came. And it was an amazing array of all kinds of Catholics, but also all kinds of Protestants. When I come in, I see this chorus of Baptists, a chorus of a Baptist church. All these elderly men dressed very conservatively, looking like they were in a 1950 church, Baptist church, singing in a choir, and were Christian soldiers. And each one of them, those traditional Christian hymns, were dedicated, each one of them dedicated this to the freedom of Oscar López Rivera. But I want to say something. I want to express my deepest gratitude to Reverend Cruz. Dr. Samuel Cruz has brought us here into the borough of Brooklyn, right? I want to say that this county has the largest black population of any county in the United States. It also has the largest Puerto Rican population of any county in the United States. Think about what this man has done politically in terms of sending a powerful message to Obama. There's a powerful base right here in Brooklyn that's looking to see what decision he makes around the case of my brother Oscar López Rivera. But I would be remiss if I also didn't say that for us, this is a momentous occasion to have Dr. Cornel West here with us. He is, without a doubt, the greatest public intellectual in this country. He speaks really truth to power. He has really, as Juan Machado, the great Spanish poet, would say, walked the walk. And he has become an incredible witness and an incredible prophetic voice for those who don't often have a voice. And having Cornel West here makes an incredible contribution to the cause of the release of my brother. And we can bring together the Latinos and the black community. This is an amazing moment. The last thing that I want to say in terms of Oscar, in terms of at least who he is, There's obviously the issue about independence and all of that. As a matter of fact, Oscar has been longer an activist in the community than he has been an activist for independence. Because he began very early taking on the causes of social justice. Today, in Chicago, you can go and see one of the most vibrant Puerto Rican communities anywhere. Encased between two of the largest monuments to any flag, two steel flags that are both 59 feet high and 56 feet across this avenue. And they mark an exit and entry into Paseo Boricua, an area that has become the heart of the Puerto Rican community. In there you will find a school, the only high school that has a Puerto Rican curriculum and a Puerto Rican focused school. Pedro Albizu Campos is the name of that school. We have the only Puerto Rican National Museum in the United States. And I could go on and talk to you about a whole list of initiatives that we have in this economic, vibrant economic, cultural space. The legacy of all of that is owed to my brother's incredible work in organizing that community and in building that community. So I want you to think, as we discuss today, this discussion and conversation about Oscar, to think about that in terms of who Oscar is. And I hope that that will frame some of the things that we want to talk about.
Say, anytime I'm blessed to be in the presence of my dear brother Samuel Cruz, I have a smile on my face. I do. Sister Tanya Tua, my distinguished colleague at Union Theological Seminary, and he is my comrade as a crusader for justice. I'm here because I know that I am who I am because somebody loved me. Somebody cared for me. Somebody attended to me. Somebody told me the truth. Somebody was willing to sacrifice. When I think of 1199, I think of my working class brothers and sisters. Love you. Love you. Love you. Don't get discouraged in the face of the bosses. Don't get discouraged given all the greed of oligarchs and plutocrats. In fact, that history is not determined just by the mighty, but rather our vision is almighty, even when it looks as if at the moment we're defeated. It's not true. Those Sly Stone called everyday people can straighten their backs up. And any time ordinary people straighten their backs up, they're going somewhere because folk can't ride your back unless it's bent. Straighten it up. Straighten it up. Acknowledge Virginia and leaders how difficult it is in our political system. We pray for you every day. Every day. It's cutting against the grain and levels of legalized corruption and bribery, and yet you're still trying to bear witness and follow through on justice. We understand what you're up against. The system in many ways is bigger than all of us, and we never forget about the systemic context under which we struggle. And that's why I'm here, because I want the world to know that Oscar Lopez Rivera is my brother. He is my brother. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I consider the Lopez family as part of the spiritual nobility and political royalty of the New World. Why? Because it helps me bring together two of the treasures of our historic moment going all the way back to the 19th century. And I'm talking about the black freedom struggle and the Puerto Rican independence struggle. There's a close relation between Ramon Betances and W.E.B. Du Bois. Oh, yes. Close connection. There's an intimate relation between Julia Burgos and Fannie Lou Hamer. And my God, every time I mention the name of Pedro Albizu Campos. Oh, connected to both Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. Oh, yeah. I know I would have gone crazy a long time ago if it were not for the music of Rafael Hernandez and Donny Hathaway, of Pedro Flores and Duke Ellington and Sarah Vaughan and Sly Stone. And to have our dear brother Jose talk about Brooklyn and the way in which
chocolate people in Brooklyn, some of them dreaming in Spanish and some dreaming in English, and some of them have bilingual dreams. Good God. That's all right. But the question is, how do we come together? How do we ensure we don't look at each other through white supremacist lens so we understand our history beginning like a Sankofa bird, always looking back to connect to the best in order to stand up and tell the truth? There is no truth that does not allow suffering to speak. And in the end, the Isley brothers are right. The Puerto Rican independence movement and the black freedom movement are really what the Isley brothers call a caravan of love. Caravan of love. And justice is what love looks like in public in the way in which tenderness is what love feels like it in private. And to have our dear brother Jose here, sophisticated thinker, intellectual activist, but also to have his brother incarcerated in the godforsaken jails of the American Empire. But we remember him. We remember him why? Because of his love. Quality of service. Who really cares about Puerto Rican peoples colonized for 400 years by the Spanish, colonized for over 100 and some years by the United States, acting as if they're only to be funneled into some mainstream and streamlined? No, they have a dignity. No, they have a sanctity like any other peoples. And when they lift their voices, echoing the theme of the national anthem of black people themselves, lifting their voices, not the echoes. There's a difference between a voice and an echo. And we got a lot of echoing folk, no matter what color they are, black, white, red, yellow, or indigenous. But when you lift your voice, you provide an answer to the four questions that W.B. Du Bois raised in 1957 at 89 years old, 6 years after he had stood in a U.S. court, handcuffed, viewed as some representative of a foreign government fighting for the banning of nuclear bombs across the board. Du Bois, what were the questions? He said, oh, here's what I have to say. Turn to page 275 in that first novel, The Ordeal of Mansart. How does integrity face oppression? Campos, Rivera, Lolita Lebron, Ella Baker, Fannie Lou Hamer. Second question, what does honesty do in the face of deception? All of the imperial lies told about Puerto Rican brothers and sisters, all of the white supremacist lies told about black people, all of the patriarchal lies told about Puerto Rican and black sisters, all of the homophobic lies told about the gay brothers and lesbian sisters and chocolate sides of town, all of the bosses' lies told about precious working peoples whose wages push back, stagnate as profits break new records every year. Third question, what does decency do in the face of insult? It's insulting to have our dear brother in prison for 32 years simply standing up for justice. Simply standing up for justice. And the last question is, what does virtue do in the face of brute force? And this is one of the questions we don't like to come to terms with. I'm going to sit down now. Because in order to come to terms with black people's struggle in America and Puerto Rican people's struggle against the American Empire, we've got to be honest about the mechanisms of repression. I can see how Campos right now with all the radiation coming at me. With the Harvard Law, it's all right, he's telling the truth. Here comes these vicious forces of repression. And to send a message of what? To keep us afraid and keep us intimidated. Make sure that we walk around with our backs humped over and laughing when it ain't funny and scratching when it don't itch and wearing the mask. No, when I hear the voice.
voice of my dear brother Rivera and Martin. I can see Martin now. You called Martin 4.5 hours in a paddy wagon, pitch dark with a German shepherd. They didn't tell him where they were taking him. They didn't tell him how long when they dropped him off at Reedsville Prison. His father was there. Andrew Young was there. They said it looked like he had a nervous breakdown. He only had one sentence in his mouth. And what did he say? This is the cross we must bear for the freedom of our people. That's Oscar Lopez Rivera, too. That takes love. And when you love everyday people, you hate the fact they're being treated unfairly. You loathe the fact they're being treated unjustly. And if you don't do something, the rocks are going to cry out.
Some greetings.
This is a message to Cornel West from my brother Oscar Lopez Rivera. I would like to express to you my heartfelt gratitude for the solidarity you have shared with our just and noble cause, and especially for all your endeavors to make this a better and more just world. Our struggle to eradicate colonialism in Puerto Rico and to make our homeland a nation where freedom, justice, and participatory democracy prevail is part and parcel of the struggle for a better and more just world. I'm fairly certain we will be victorious. The neoliberal agenda for the new millennium of the few countries that are in control of the world has not found fertile grounds in Latin America for its implementation. And the majority of the world community no longer accept wars and regime changes as a solution to the problems it faces. Our struggle against colonialism and for the independence of our homeland has existed for over two centuries, and neither the Spanish imperialist regime or the U.S. government have been able to defeat it. Because the courageous women and men who initiated did so as an act of love and compassion. And every generation that has given it continuity have done with the same courage, love, and compassion. For those of us who struggle against U.S. colonialism, race matters. The Spanish and the U.S. government have used racism to keep us under their colonial chains and to divide us. Even before the U.S. government invaded and occupied Puerto Rico militarily, it had labeled our people as a mongrel race, and that racism still prevails. But the father of our homeland, Dr. Ramon Emeterio Betances, exhorted our people always to be proud of our dark skin. And to this day, we continue to affirm and celebrate our African roots. As we celebrate Black History Month, we do it knowing we have a long struggle ahead of us. But we know a better and more just world is possible as long as we dare to struggle for it. And someday, we will celebrate who we are as a people and as one race, the universal human race. A big hug with short Puerto Rican arms and with a heart full of love for you and your loved ones. And resistencia y lucha, Oscar López Rivera.
Brother Cornell, I see this event this evening partially as un bembe, a celebration. We struggle and sometimes have to have a party in the midst of struggle.
That's true.
However, I guess I'm asking you this question because I know you inspire hope in me, because I am one of the most hopeful pessimistic people I've ever met. So I straddle between hope and pessimism all the time. Usually I find myself more pessimistic than hopeful. If it wasn't for my wife, Tanya, I probably wouldn't be here. Do you have anything to say?
Oh, no, I think we got a lot of signs of hope, though. We got a lot of signs. I think one of the lessons from, the many lessons from the richness of the Puerto Rican independence struggle, the black freedom struggle, is that we're blues people, which is to say we're willing to look the catastrophic in the face, be honest about it, keep track of the darkness, and still do it with a smile. B.B. King says, nobody loves me but my mama, she might be jiving too. Ooh, that's the blues, that's catastrophic, isn't it? But B.B. does it with such a smile on his face, so much style, a little help from Lucille, his guitar, that you know he comes from a people with dignified, unbelievable creativity, unbelievable intelligence and imagination, and at our best, unbelievable love. It starts on the chocolate side of town and spills over to the vanilla sides. And the brown and red and yellow, the Catholic and Jewish and Arab and Muslim and atheist and agnostic across the board. That's the best in our painting and our music. And this is very important, and I think this is so true for Brother Oscar, there's a militant tenderness, a subversive sweetness, and a radical gentleness in the best of the Puerto Rican independent movement and the black freedom movement. And Brother Oscar, that's what he's talking about too. Integral to the movement, how you relate, how you connect, what you say, how you affirm, how you empower, criticize and telling the truth, being harsh in your critique of the deed, but keep track of the doer because the doer can change. There was a gangster named Malcolm Little who was deeply loved by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who became Malcolm X, and he even outgrew Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his own way. But without that love in the cell, he'd have still been Malcolm Little gangster. Oh, that's true for each and every one of us. I don't care what color, I don't care what sexual orientation, I don't care what civilization. That our moment doesn't trump us, but at the same time, we got to tell the truth. You see, so when we're talking about American imperialism being vicious and repressive in relation to our precious Puerto Rican brothers and sisters, oh, you sound like anti-America. No, I'm anti-injustice in America. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it misconceived.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.